This is a Roundtable Rewind with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
You roll through it. It's Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia, Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor. The seven that matter. The seven that still have a chance to be the final four. That's where it all ends right there. And they basically said last night on the show what we said on Monday. Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson could rest players this weekend in their championship game, and those three will be in. It is four teams playing for one spot, and Georgia controls their own destiny. There seems to be a gap between Georgia, if they win, and getting jumped by Utah or anyone else. It's Georgia's ball, and they're either going to fumble it or take it into the playoffs.
You know, the only reason you would watch Sunday morning if Georgia does win this game and upsets LSU is just to see how the seeding plays out.
Yeah. I mean,
that's it.
Because yeah, Georgia will be in.
You've got your four. I mean, the only drama is going to be if Utah wins and then, you know, Oklahoma wins. I mean, if Baylor beats Oklahoma, Baylor's not going to jump Utah.
Oh, I could go ahead and even tell you how the seeding would go. It would go Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, and LSU.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Ohio State, LSU, Joe Burrow versus Ohio State in the peach. I don't know.
In a traditional rivalry game between Clemson and Georgia. What a fun one that would be.
No, that'd be a very – it'd be the best-looking playoff I think you could get, those four teams.
Because, with those matchups.
With those matchups, yeah.
But let's say
a lot of storylines.
Everything plays out and your favorites win. And we go to 5-6. And let's just say – that Utah wins by a point over Oregon.
Okay.
And Oklahoma wins by 21 over Baylor.
Oklahoma's in. And they could have made it, I think, official last night by going ahead and jumping Oklahoma over Utah. I didn't think they'd do that. But if they had done that last night, you know 100% it's over. But
I think Rob Mullen said something last night that would open the door for Oklahoma, because when he talked about Utah, the quote was, they've been so consistent all season and they've been dominant. And if they're not dominant,
yep,
that is where they have opened the door.
Yeah, if it's a close game.
Yeah.
But it's a quality opponent. Here's Rob Mullins, a couple of different places last night on what LT's talking about, the separation of Utah and Oklahoma and the minds of Rob Mullins and the committee.
The most time and the most vigorous debate was on 5-6. 7 was in there too, but we spent the most time and got the most heated, or got after it the most, on 5-6. You've got two really good teams with different sorts of resumes. Oklahoma has the win over Baylor when C.D. Lamb wasn't available. They also have the win over Oklahoma State. And then you look at Utah, who's just had this season-long of great balance on both sides, dominant wins, incredibly consistent, top two or three defense in the country, experienced quarterback, only loss on a Friday night on the road at a ranked USC when Zach Moss, their star running back, missed the majority of the game. So their level of consistency and what you see when them watch them play is they dominate teams. They just kind of squeeze you. They get you in their grip, and they have dominated their entire schedule.
Rob Mullins last night about the separation of 5-6 there, Utah and Oklahoma. And I think the positive for Utah, and I sort of disagree with you guys, I think Utah, if Georgia loses, controls their own destiny with a win over Oregon, is because they mentioned by name a lot last night, Zach Moss not playing a majority of that game in Los Angeles. And I think they look at Utah as a complete team with Zach Moss back healthy.
Well, and I think Clay Helton did them a big favor by winning their final three games and getting into the top 25. So it doesn't look like a bad loss now to USC in the Coliseum. Look, I'm one of those. I think Utah is the fourth best team. I think there is a little bit of a gap. I think with that defense, they can challenge somebody in a one-game situation. I don't think anybody that is your four seed is going to win this championship, but I think Utah is very, very deserving. And if the committee's doing their job, if Utah does beat Oregon, which I think Kyle Whittingham's not only going to say, hey, look, we've never won this conference, but let's go out there and let's show everybody what we're really about. I think Utah will actually make a statement on Friday night against Oregon.
Well, it'd be interesting if they did. I noticed they mentioned Zach Moss a lot, uncomfortably for me. I think way too much of that was mentioned, that Zach Moss missed that USC game.
And explain that to me a little bit, because that is supposed to be one slither of consideration.
Well,
right?
I just think if you're going to do that, you got to be really consistent with it. And as I've pointed out many times, Zach Moss missed that game and it had a huge impact on that game. But USC was also starting a third team quarterback in that game. So at what point do injuries matter? Does it only matter to Utah, or should I not consider the fact that Is it not balanced out in that game by the fact that USC was, they were playing their third team quarterback a lot in that
started
game?
Started the second and went quickly to
the third when the second got hurt.
It was the second play of the game. Slovis gets a concussion.
So does that not balance
things out? So basically, no need for the seesaw rock star. Basically, 99.8% of the game was with the third string quarterback.
Yeah. So to me, does that not balance that out? That's why you, listen, was Utah a different team without Zach Moss? Absolutely they were. But you get on a slippery slope when you start letting injuries play that much into it, because you got to consider everything when it comes to injuries. And you see USC was starting a third team quarterback because of injury. So anyway, that's why it was mentioned to an uncomfortable level for me.
Your phone calls throughout 834-9450, 800-239-WJOX. Another part last night that was of interest in this area, and we sort of started talking about it on the show yesterday, where we pretty much thought Auburn would be ranked ahead of Alabama, and that's what happened last night. Auburn moved up 4 spots. Alabama dropped 7 spots. And it seemed to catch a lot of Alabama fans off guard a little bit.
I don't know why.
But we said on the air yesterday there was a good chance that the committee would have a 3-loss Auburn team ahead of a 2-loss Alabama team because of resume and because of what happened head-to-head at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and it happened last night. And that comes with some bowl implications as well. You first, Brown, 11 Auburn, Alabama 12. What do you make of that?
I don't know why anybody would expect to be different. Now, you can make the argument, is Alabama better than Penn State? I think we'd all say yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is Alabama better than Florida?
I would say yeah.
I'd say yeah. Is Alabama better than Wisconsin?
I'd say yeah.
Is Alabama better than Baylor?
I'd say yeah.
Okay. But Alabama Saturday wasn't better than Auburn. The final score tells me Auburn was the better team on Saturday. And when I've got head-to-head, it's hard to ignore that when everything else is either equal or close. Now, a lot of people say it's not equal. Auburn's 9-3, Alabama's 10-2. Well, you got to take other things into consideration. I mean, Auburn's schedule versus Alabama's schedule is not even close. And 9-3 and 10-2 are a lot alike there. I mean, I don't – and Lance, here's the other thing. When you get to the end of these polls, it gets really hard because you can't put Auburn in front of Florida because Florida beat Auburn. And you can't put Alabama in front of Auburn because Auburn beat Alabama.
Yeah, but you're still going to have teams in front of teams. I mean, an example is Penn State is in front of Minnesota. They've got the exact same record.
That is correct.
We saw Minnesota beat Penn State. Yep. It's not even close. I mean, Penn State's 10, Minnesota's 18.
Yep.
It gets tricky. This is not an exact science, but we did just see this on the field this week. I don't know if Alabama fans really have a problem with this. I think they're kind of resigned to the fact that we're out of this championship hunt. Who cares where we are now?
Yeah, I don't know what Alabama fans expected. I was shocked at the reaction. Now, should Alabama have dropped 7 spots on that loss? It was the second biggest drop in the poll. Minnesota was the other big one, dropping 10 spots after losing to Wisconsin, who's number 8. I mean, no, that's too big of a drop. Auburn probably should have jumped.
Well, the difference here is Wisconsin in the second half dominated Minnesota at home. This was, you know, Auburn.
This is a back and forth
game. Defense. It's back and forth. You've got a backup quarterback. It was a tremendous game.
It's a lot of facts.
So I was surprised that Alabama dropped that far.
Yeah, and Auburn should have jumped higher than 4 spots by beating the number 5 team.
Well, I think that's the reason Alabama dropped so far is they wanted them
behind
Auburn.
They had to, and that's what I'm saying. It gets tricky because if you jump Auburn more than 4 spots, who do they jump in front of? Florida, who beat them on the field. So if you're going to use that rationale to put Alabama behind Auburn, you got to have that same rationale to keep Auburn behind Florida. When you get to the end of these polls, it gets really, really hard to keep any sort of standard rationale.
So for the bowl game implications, we'll talk about that when we come back for Auburn and Alabama. There seems to be a trio of bowl games that they are most in play for involving the Cotton, the Citrus, and the Outback. We'll talk about that when we come back. More of your phone calls and reaction on Twitter at Jocks Roundtable, at Jocks Roundtable, where Lewis has already dropped in and says, I'm not an A&M fan, gig'em, but all 5 losses are to top 12 teams, 3 in the top 4. Who is Oklahoma State lost to or beaten? USC beat Utah, but also 4 losses. He wants to know why A&M doesn't get consideration all season long at the bottom. I think that comes, yes, all great losses, but like some people in the polls, they have no quality wins.
Yeah, you got to win one of those. You got 5 opportunities.
I mean, but Oklahoma State doesn't necessarily have a ton of quality wins either. I mean, their best win was Iowa State, who has leaked a lot of oil down the stretch here. They finished 7-5. I mean,
Are they in the poll?
Iowa State, no. Okay. They were when they beat them now. They were number 25. But
I'm just saying they continue to leave some of these teams at the bottom are smoking on the side of the road.
I was going to say that earlier when we were talking about Oklahoma. There's literally nothing Oklahoma State can do to drop out of this poll.
Right. Their season's over.
Yeah. I mean, mean they've kept them in there every week.
Exactly. Yeah. They're bowling with those rails up.
Right.
You can't throw it in the gutter.
Right. So, I mean, their wins are West Virginia, Kansas, TCU, Iowa State, Kansas State, Tulsa, McNeese State, and Oregon State. They beat a lot of states.
Yes.
If you were to that state against it, you didn't want to play them.
You know, the other interesting angle here is Group 5. If Cincinnati beats Memphis on Memphis's home turf and Boise goes on and wins the Mountain West, who gets the bid?
I think the winner of the American will get in.
Yeah, they kept that really close, though.
Yeah, and deserving.
I mean, they got Boise, Cincinnati, and Appy State right there, boom, 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 and Memphis just separated from all that by Minnesota.
Memphis, if they win, it becomes a bigger discussion who goes to the Cotton, but I think it'd be Cincinnati.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be really close if both Cincy and Boise win, but if Memphis wins, they're in.
It is 6-11. Okay, some bowl implications and a lot more to get to later in the show. Tua Tagovailoa talking with Kirk Herbstreit, Dabo Swinney doubling down on the Roy Bus Part 2 and a little battle with our buddy Feinbaum, and a lot more to get to, including Matt Rhule, who in his news conference yesterday was asked the question, how tough is it not being able to recruit this week because you're playing in a championship game? Remember, with that early signing period, the non-championship game coaches are out meeting everybody face-to-face. It's all Nick Saban is doing this week. It's all Gus Malzahn is doing this week. Matt Rhule was asked yesterday, is it putting you behind the A-ball having to play in the championship game this week? All right, John in Huntsville starts us off today. John, good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, John.
Hey, man. Hey, Ryan.
Yes.
I don't know what you've been looking at.
Okay.
As far as Alabama fans being shocked, I'm an Alabama fan. And the buddies I've talked to, hey, there's consequences for losing games.
Yeah.
And us being ranked 12th, you know, hey, I have no problem with it. Because we're behind Auburn, and they beat us.
Well, here's one thing I was looking at are responses like this immediately this morning. Milkman256 says, let's see, two pick sixes, a backup quarterback, backup kicker, 13 penalties. But sure, Alabama is better. Surprised they only beat Bama by three. Or sure, Auburn is better. Surprised they only beat Bama by three. I was just surprised at some of the Twitter feedback I got last night of people that are that are shocked by this. I fully expected it would happen. I don't know why people are surprised by it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do. You know, there's no reason. I'm shocked, too, if people feel that way because they're not being real.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you can factor in a lot of things. That's like I said, I'm uncomfortable with how much they factored in this Zach Moss injury for Utah. Look, I mean, at some point you got to say the two teams lined up on the field, were there a lot of penalties by one team? Maybe. Was somebody hurt? Maybe. But you know what? One team beat the other one, and that's got to mean something. It's got to mean something. Now, if Auburn were 7-5 and Alabama were 10 or 11-1, no, Auburn shouldn't be ranked in front of Alabama. But their records are almost identical. So why is it that big a deal?
With different paths to get there.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah, an example is USC beat Utah, but USC sitting at 8-4 and Utah's at 11-1.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way USC should be in front of Utah. They prove the rest of the year they're not a better team.
Yeah, and look, I will say this, I'll let you guys go, but okay. I agree with Dunaway 100% when he said, hey, we're not in the playoffs, you know, so really it doesn't matter. I mean, it does, of course, maybe for bowls, but, you know, hey, like I said, there's consequences for losing games.
Yep.
And we've lost two. So we're number 12. So we just, that's just.
Yeah.
And what he's talking about.
Go back to work.
Sure. Thank
you. Appreciate it. And what he's talking about is that, you know, to me, the 2020 season begins now. And over the next days and weeks, we'll see who actually plays in whatever bowl game Alabama goes to. And I'm not going to blame one person that is about to enter the NFL Combine or draft if they choose not to play in the Outback Bowl or the Citrus Bowl or even the Cotton Bowl against Memphis. So, and if I was Derrick Brown at Auburn, I wouldn't play in whatever bowl Auburn goes to, the Cotton Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, the Outback Bowl.
Well, I think you said it best. I think it was – what is today, Wednesday? It was on Monday. If you're Gus Malzahn and you're Nick Saban, you even take these guys to the side. Hey, I don't expect you to play.
That's right.
Now, if these guys are like, hey, I want to go out. I want to wear the uniform one more time. I want to go out with my teammates. Then you let them do it. But I would advise, hey, look, this being a business decision and where you are going to be in the next few months, this is your livelihood. This is the rest of your life. This bowl game doesn't mean much.
And I think there's great benefit as well for the team and for the fans. I don't know where Alabama and Auburn fans are, but if I'm an Alabama fan after going to so many playoffs, I would be more excited to see the next line of receivers play in this bowl game than to see one more round with Judy and those guys.
And before you say, well, that's, you know, they don't have a commitment to the program, that doesn't, how's that helping Alabama? Do you guys think when Nick Saban is in these living rooms he's in this week, he's telling these kids, hey, Sunday, turn on the NFL, see how many of my guys are in there?
That's right, yes.
Okay, well, then it's in his benefit if the game is really pretty meaningless to protect that, isn't it?
Yes.
The more guys he's got that are drafted in the top 10, top 15, top 25, first round, helps him in recruiting. So it is in Nick Saban's best interest to make sure a guy that might be borderline is healthy enough to be in that first round.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's more, I don't know, interesting for us in what we do to talk about an Alabama bowl game where you're going to have these backups. You know, it's one thing when we get to the A-Day and you get to see a lot of these guys for the first time, you know, ones versus twos.
But that's such
ones versus ones.
Such a sanitized environment.
Yeah, but when you get to see a lot of guys that you haven't seen before in one of these settings, and let's just say it's Alabama and Michigan in the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, the experience, the experience is so valuable when Alabama plays USC next year if Mac Jones gets another game under his belt in a high-profile situation. If a receiver who has done nothing but occasionally play special teams gets a chance to run routes and catch passes against somebody else's number one defense
right
in a high profile situation. So yes, I think there's some value in this bowl game and the practices leading up to it if you approach it the right way. It'll be interesting to see who plays and who decides to go to the NFL. I mean, we've seen some guys like at Auburn this year, Derrick Brown and those guys who decided to pass on the NFL draft for 1 year to come back.
Have you gotten inside information that Tua will be back next year?
No, but it's an interesting conversation he had with Herb Street last night. We'll give you some of that coming up in the next segment. But Brown, quickly, what does it take for Alabama or Auburn to be in the Cotton Bowl or the Orange Bowl?
Well, first of all, there was a key moment last night. First of all, you need to be in the top 12, and both of them are. Okay, so that's step one. However, you're going to need some help in front of you if you want this to happen. For instance, you got three Big Ten teams in front of you if you're Auburn and Alabama. One of those will be in the playoff, Ohio State, in all likelihood. The other ones, Wisconsin or Penn State, will go to the Rose. Here's what I think you need to be prepared for if you're an Auburn-Alabama fan. For this committee to say Baylor and Wisconsin shouldn't be punished for having to play an extra game that Florida, Penn State, Auburn, and Alabama didn't have to play. And those teams, even with a loss, staying in front of you and potentially taking away one of those New Year's Six bowl spots from you. The other thing is, you know, you got there'll be an SEC team that definitely goes to the Sugar and likely one that goes to the Orange. So you got to assume Georgia and Florida eat up those two spots. That's a safe assumption because they're both ranked in front of Auburn and Alabama. Nobody else plays.
That's right.
So it really comes down to the Cotton. I think the Cotton is the one where it could be Auburn, could be Alabama, and they would have to choose. I do know, as it pertains to Alabama, the Cotton Bowl people really, really have a great relationship with Nick Saban in Alabama and vice versa. Saban really likes them. They have a great relationship. I think from the people I've talked to, one of the concerns is what you just said, who's actually playing in the game.
Right.
You know, is it going to be the 2020 Alabama team I'm going to get, or is it the 2019 Alabama team I'm going to get?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously travel factors in too. And yeah. I, in the past, you would say that Alabama is easily going to out-travel Auburn in a situation like this. But now with Alabama fans probably being so disappointed.
It's a huge concern
in the championship run.
Yeah.
I mean, how many Alabama fans are actually going to want to go to that game?
Keep in mind, the last 4 years, Alabama fans have gone to two bowl games every year.
Yeah, expensive ones.
Yeah.
An apathetic Alabama fan base is better than a lot of fired up fan bases. I mean, even an apathetic Alabama fan base travels better than some of these. So you also have to keep that in mind. The key, I think, really is Penn State being right there because they travel very, very well. Yes, it's a really good bowl team.
And they exceeded expectations this year.
They're a fan base that's probably a little bit more excited about where they are. So I thought the bad news for Alabama and Auburn was Penn State being in front of them because that's three Big Ten teams. Only one of them can go to the Rose. The other one is going to be pretty attractive. But, again, I want to say what you really have to be prepared for is Baylor and Wisconsin not dropping below these other teams. But because the committee says they shouldn't be punished for playing an extra game.
Yeah, real quick on that point, though, Penn State more than likely. Wisconsin, they're not going to beat Ohio State.
So, Wisconsin, no.
Yeah, so Penn State will jump Wisconsin. Penn State will go to the Rose Bowl.
I don't know if they will.
Brown is saying they may not slide at all.
They may not slide them at all because they may not say, yeah, you know what, Wisconsin, we really didn't want to punish them for having to play a game Penn State didn't have to play.
Now, Auburn did.
That's what you have to be prepared for.
Auburn did in 2017 drop from number 2 to number 7.
But they had to do that
to get them out of the top 4.
Well, I guess it just depends on where they want who they want to put in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
they control that.
628. Okay, that's some bowl implications from last night's college football playoff rankings. Todd Furman, our first guest today, coming up at 7:30 on the show. Stan White at 8. Peter Burns with us at 9:30 late. Michael is next with us. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Hey, man. I'm just a truck driver driving through this morning listening to you guys. And I was just wondering, would there even be a talk or would the top four even be worth watching this weekend if Georgia wouldn't have stumped their toe against South Carolina? I know it's a mute point because they did.
That's a great question. Like, if this were an undefeated Georgia team right now.
Because what we're saying already is an Ohio State loss, an LSU loss, and a Clemson loss, they would already be in. Would a Georgia against LSU loss, would it be those four regardless? That's Michael's question.
Because I think Georgia would be number 3 right now behind Ohio State and LSU. But I think you're right. I think it'd be done right now if Georgia had not lost to South Carolina.
So Utah would have no chance to jump in, and Oklahoma would have no chance jumping in. No, that's funny, Michael. That's a great point because somehow I feel like if it was unbeaten Georgia versus unbeaten LSU – that the loser would be out and they would put one of the other conference champions in, Utah or Oklahoma. But with Georgia having one loss, there's no chance they're jumping in.
Yeah, I think if you would have had a one-loss Oregon team playing, I think Pac-12 would have gotten in over a loss by one of those teams. But, yeah, I agree. I think if Georgia wouldn't have lost a game, I think this thing would be done.
Michael, great point, man. Thank you for listening as you drive through and be safe out there. Tua Tagovailoa. Go ahead, Brandon.
Well, I was going to say, I hate to say that for Georgia fans, but I'm glad that's not the case. I don't necessarily want to go into Championship Saturday with everything set. I'd at least like a chance at some chaos, right?
At least something.
Yeah, at
least
something.
Shake it up a bit. Yeah. All right, 6:38, Tua Tagovailoa sitting down with Kirk Herbstreit. Two different sound bites here. I want to play them for you, and then I want your reaction on what Tua is saying here. And I don't think any of this is earth-shattering, but to hear him say the words where he's actually pondering a comeback to Tuscaloosa or going to the NFL it's just good seeing his thought process and all of this. Here's Tua Tagovailoa with Kirk Herbstreit.
When I kind of look at it, I look at it, if I come back, the risk is, you know, what if I get hurt again? But the reward could be, you know, maybe I jump back to the top of the charts, you know, and the boards, you know, for all these teams. Now you look at the other side of the spectrum, if I leave, well, the risk is, you know, do I still go in the first round or, you know, do I even make it to the second round? And I mean, these guys don't even know, you know, if I can play with, you know, the hip injury yet too. And then, you know, I'd say the reward and all of that is, you know, yeah, I'll be getting paid millions, but I mean, a lot of the money that I could have made, you can't make that money up now, you know? And so that'd be me leaving money on the table. But then at the same time, I still got to talk, you know, with my family about all of this, see what their input is. And, you know, now is not the time to be making emotional decisions, but now you got to change into thinking as a businessman. You know, you got to make business decisions, and it's just going to be a business decision we'd have to make as a family. But, you know, my parents would tell you, you know, it ended up coming down to my decision.
Tua Tagovailoa with Kirk Herbstreit last night. The part that jumped out for me, Lance and Ryan, is that he actually said the words, they don't even know if I can play yet with this hip.
So
I think it was, do you think the they was doctors or the NFL?
I think they is the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think the they was doctors.
Okay, you don't think it was doctors?
No, I think.
Okay, I took it as doctors.
The way I heard that was, look, the NFL hasn't even seen if I can play with this hip.
Okay.
Okay. Not doctors.
So I think with him coming back, it would be for two reasons. Well, maybe three if you're looking at, you know, team accomplishments and, hey, let's finally win this national championship with me as the starting quarterback. But it's getting back on the field and showing NFL teams I can stay healthy for 12 games. I don't know if we'll ever see Tua healthy for 12 games. It would also be about raising the draft stock. I don't care if he comes back and wins the Heisman Trophy. He ain't going in front of Trevor Lawrence.
Well, yeah, but you would have said that coming into this year about somebody going in front of Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, you would have never said Joe Burrow was going to be number
exactly.
one overall.
And he may be.
And being so far ahead in the Heisman hunt that they don't even allow bets in Vegas anymore.
No, right. I'll give you that, but I will say it again, and I'll say it with absolute, there is no way he will go in front of Trevor Lawrence.
I don't think he will.
Because Tua, and I feel comfortable saying this, I don't think we'll ever see him play a full 16 games in the NFL.
Well, I don't know if that'll be the case, but
I can't predict injuries.
Yeah.
But he's become pretty predictable the last couple of years.
It has, but, I mean, you never play 16 games. I mean, if he's got a 10-year career, you think he's going to go 10 full seasons and never play 16 games?
I mean, Mike Vick did it, what, once? Twice?
I don't know how often Vick did it. I think Trevor Lawrence will go first next year, but if Tua Tagovailoa went second, there's a great chance that's much higher than it'll go this year, right? So it's not about necessarily being the first pick.
He probably makes up $10, $12, $14 million that he would never get back.
Yeah, but there's still a chance that if doctors, you know, NFL, obviously they're going to do their due diligence, and if they talk to doctors and they're like, hey, he's going to come back exactly where he was before physically. I mean, we know Burrow's going to go in front of him. But, I mean, there's a chance he could still go in front of Herbert.
Yeah, anywhere from 13th where McShay had him yesterday. And then some people are starting to question whether or not he drops out of the first round or not. So that's where his thought process
is. That's a big deal, though. That's a huge deal.
Well, falling out of the first round?
Yeah. And apparently that's on the table.
Right. But a lot of people would also say, you know, later you go in the draft, the better team you're with. So there is the payoff of going later in the draft to be with a better franchise.
Yeah, if you were Tua, hey, look, I'm going to fall to
New England?
Yeah, 27 or 28. That's where I'm going to guess New England's going to be.
Or New Orleans? I'm going to fall to the Saints, and I'm going to be Drew Brees' replacement?
Yeah, so then I don't make as much money. I lose $15, $20 million on the front end, but I'm going to be with a great franchise. I'll be starting there in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
A franchise that's going to win a lot of games, go to the postseason, and then I'm going to prove my worth. And when I get that second contract, I see what Jared Goff and Carson Wentz are making.
Right.
And I believe that my ability is more, and my upside is much more than those guys.
That seems to be the way most people thinks he will go, is go get paid in the NFL. He did give us a timeline. January 20th, we believe, is the deadline for declaring for the NFL. Here's what he told Herb Street about a timeline.
Once we, you know, come to a decision and we've prayed on it, and, you know, what I feel is, you know, heavy on my heart that is the right thing to do for me, then, you know, I'll do it, whether it's tomorrow, you know, or on the 20th of January, then, you know, that'll be it.
Or right now, you can just tell us.
All right.
if
God throws it on my heart in the next 20 seconds, I'll tell you.
It's it. Right.
I don't know.
That's Tua Tagovailoa with Herb Street last night. DB is next with us as we continue our conversation on college football, looking at championship games this weekend and a lot more. Hey, DB, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Not much. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I kind of agree with your assessment on Tua. However, you know, it was a great day to be Jalen Hurts, right?
Today?
Today is a great, because I believe the committee, they got it right. And I think it would be like, this is my personal opinion, but I think it would be just a lot of humble pie as Alabama fans that we have the week, that we have to eat, you know, just saying, you know, Jalen wins it all.
If he wins it all, which I don't think they will, I don't think Oklahoma's got near the complete enough team to win it all. I'm not even certain they'll be in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to get in.
So Jalen could finish his career in the Sugar Bowl against either Georgia or Florida.
Yeah, I hate we couldn't see Jalen versus Alabama, but I just feel like if that'll be the perfect sports story for him to win it all.
Yeah. You all got right. It, DB, man. Thank you for that call.
It'd be a great story. There's no doubt about it, but.
Bruce in Huntsville is up next. DB's been on that same beat there for the last 3 weeks. Bruce, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. All right. One of y'all made a comment about if Tua came back, which I personally think he should go pro. If it was my son, I would advise him to go pro.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree too.
I'm not so. But why unmistakably do you think Trevor Lawrence would be drafted ahead of him? What attribute of playing the position does he do better than Tua Tagovailoa? I'm just curious.
Lance?
Well, I just think he's a better quarterback, and he showed a lot of durability. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he's completing 74% of his passes. I know he's doing it against a lot of people believe stiffs. We saw him head-to-head on the same field last year. Trevor Lawrence is a true freshman quarterback, more than outplayed Tua. I just think he's a better quarterback.
Durability is a good place to start. Arm strength is considered to be advantage.
Yeah, I just don't think there's a weakness, and I think he's also got a lot of athletic ability nobody talks about.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think he can even compare to making the throws. Tua Tagovailoa makes throws I've never seen made before in the SEC. His accuracy
is incredible. I give you that. He's got to be on the field, though.
Well, I agree. He's been hurt. But I'm talking about playing the position of quarterback. If anything, Lawrence regressed this year.
He did early.
Have you watched him? Lost.
Yeah, have you watched him the last 8 weeks?
Yeah, the last 8 weeks he's been tremendous. Early on, you're right. He was not as good as he was his first year.
There was never a point in the 3 years that Tua was there that he regressed. He continually got better.
Well, he did play well against Clemson last year in the national championship game. He threw an interception. Was it the Tennessee game this year where
there were three interceptions this year.
Yeah.
Lawrence threw that in the first two games this year. You know, I just don't understand that. You know, like last year, and I'll be honest, last year he should have won a Heisman Trophy. And that bared out when they played Oklahoma. There was no question who the best quarterback was on the field in that game. It was clear.
Oh, I don't know how clear it was, no.
Yeah.
I would take Tua over Kyler. But it was a lot closer than you think.
Yeah, you switch teams. I mean, the outcome's the exact same.
I disagree. 17 for 37 is not 24 for 27 for four touchdowns in like 350 yards.
Different defense.
Sorry, it's not.
Yeah, you're playing different people, though, right? You've got Tua playing against Oklahoma's defense and Kyler playing against Alabama's defense.
And different receivers. Marquise Brown didn't even play in that game.
Well, you know – but everybody goes through that, right? Everybody has injuries every game.
Yeah.
You know, that's just part of playing football.
Okay, have you watched Kyler so far in the NFL?
He's done better than I thought he would.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's done better. Now, don't judge him on Sunday. This past Sunday was pretty bad.
You know, a lot of people, if you didn't watch that game, he had a hamstring injury.
He did. That's why. 100%. That's one reason I'm saying that. He was also playing the Rams defense, which can be good when they get it all together. Look, the whole thing about quarterback in the NFL is all a guess anyway.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I mean, I'm not certain that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a better NFL quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert or Daniel Jones even.
Or Jamarcus Russell.
I feel like he's going to be better than Jamarcus Russell.
You never know. Jamarcus Russell looked great.
Right.
In college. You never know. It's a different game. And once you get that paycheck and everything's faster. I mean, he's right. If Trevor Lawrence carries his September into the NFL, those DBs will eat that up day long. And go back for seconds and thirds.
It's the Baumhauer's Victory Grill Spotlight.
This week's favorite storylines in college football.
Hey, with football season here, Baumhauer's Victory Grill, they've got all your tailgating needs covered, from their full line of signature sauces to their convenient party-ready trays and more. There's something for the whole team at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Get Baumhauer's new game day lineup. Visit baumhauers.com/tailgate. For more info, it's Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Legendary fun, legendary food.
We've talked a lot about the playoffs and the rankings last night. So with championship games this weekend, what storyline are you looking at, Brownie?
You know, these games go on at pretty much the same time. The American and Memphis, 2:30 ABC. The Mountain and Boise, 3 o'clock ESPN. The reason this is interesting is you're looking for that group of five team that will be heading to the Cotton Bowl. If Memphis wins, they're it. But if you're Boise and you find out Cincinnati's leading, I mean, how big a favorite are they over Hawaii, Lance? Pretty big, right? Playing at home?
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. But if you find out Cincinnati's leading, do you tighten up a little bit? Or do you put the pedal to the metal and try to score as many as you can? I think that's an off-the-radar interesting thing to watch in the Mountain and the American.
What's a storyline for you this weekend, Lance, that you're most interested in? For me, I'm looking at Travis Etienne of Clemson battling Virginia. And is Etienne the best running back left in the playoff hunt, the national championship hunt, in your opinion? Or do you go J.K. Dobbins, Where do you go with the, Zach Moss? Where do you go with running backs?
Yeah, I think ETN would probably be a little bit down the list. I mean, I probably
really.
Yeah, I would go Dobbins and Jonathan Taylor would be one and two for sure.
But those that are going to be in the 4-team playoffs is what I'm asking there. So take Taylor out.
So Dobbins.
And I like ETN better than Taylor too as well.
Dobbins would be number one. Edwards-Helaire, the way he's playing, though, I mean, he's been tremendous. I mean, ETN's going to be right there. And then if Zach Moss, if Utah gets in there. Kennedy Brooks has been really good for Oklahoma down the stretch, yeah. too. You got some good running backs that obviously don't get what they deserve because of the quarterback position.
Yeah, but I like Travis ETN. 53 career touchdowns, an ACC record.
You know, for me, it's Utah. And not only do they have to win, I think they've got to show out and they've got to continue to be dominant Friday night. And the interesting angle here is as good and steady as this Utah program's been under Kyle Whittingham and a team that went undefeated back in 2004 and again in 2007, you know, in 04 under Urban Meyer and 07 or 08, I should say, under Whittingham going to a Sugar Bowl and beating Alabama. They've yet to win the Pac-12. And you think about how many teams have represented the Pac-12 in this game and how many teams have won the Pac-12, but Utah's never done it. Now they're favored to do it. Can they close the deal?
That's our Baumhauer Spotlight Storylines for the weekend brought to you by our friends at Baumhauer's.
Hey, when was the last time you were excited to go to work? How does a four-day work week sound? Yes, four-day work week. That's right. Come join the team at Baumhauer's Victory Grill where you can score a rewarding career and more time to spend doing the things you love doing. Visit Baumhauer's.com/careers. Apply today. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, legendary fun, legendary food.
Eric Edholm of Yahoo has just put together his first mock draft for the NFL. 7 Alabama players in the first round in his mock draft.
That's significant.
Seven.
What is the record? Is it 8 by Miami?
I think it's 6, tied by Miami and Alabama.
Oh, my God.